Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And I can't emphasize enough how that debt we have, all of our debt is fraudulent. And as a matter of fact, your state and your county is spending money on things that there are some things that your county and state actually should be spending their money on that they're not. As a matter of fact, in a conversation with a candidate, I kind of pointed out how government really has a responsibility to help the individual citizen, all citizens, to become more competitive and more productive and more capable of being self-sufficient. And there's ways to do that. And we can dive into that when we dive into those conversations regarding infrastructure, those types of things. Things that the federal government shouldn't be doing. And as a matter of fact, the federal government has only proven that when they get involved in infrastructure, how many times has the federal government spent money on bringing high speed broadband, you know, internet to all of the citizens of the United States? Both attempts under Obama and even Biden were absolutely boondoggles, and it was just a mechanism that they used to funnel money to their loyalists to help get certain things done, as well as to make sure that they stay in office. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that Obama would not have become the president had Romney not been the nomination. And so a lot of people, it has everything to do with the fact that he's Mormon, but it has nothing to do with the fact that he's Mormon. And so anyway, I don't want to dive into that. But what I do want to do is I want to kind of cover, as Feedback Friday, I want to cover why, you know, the ratification debates and why the content on this show, because I want to make this show as an opportunity for me to serve you, to empower you, because there's nothing greater. Remember, knowledge is power. There's nothing greater than giving you the knowledge and the information. You can be consumed with the problem. Did you know they're doing this? Did you know that? And when you are fed the problem, well, I mean, you're just trying to think of reactions and so forth. But when you're fed with the content of the framing, the foundation, then you start understanding how, you know, certain things that are happening are antithetical to what the government is designed to do. Like I just told you, our government has more of an obligation in ensuring that you are as productive as possible. It is not their job to hinder you and to regulate you into servitude. And that's what they're doing. We did a show last year regarding the broad spectrum warfare that the federal government has waged on the states as well as the citizens. And we're letting them do this. But we'll get into that in a few. What is happening is we're going through the ratification debates, and simultaneously, as I did yesterday, we are starting the show. And as a matter of fact, that was my very first, I'll call it the exigent show, because of the exigencies of the candidacy and having candidates informed. And we get these candidates into office if the time comes while they're in office. And the more we get into office, the more protection we get. Because if the time comes in the state legislature that we have people that understand the Constitution, these people can stand up on the floor and bring reason to the panic, so that everybody understands why what we've been doing and what they've been supporting is so important. Because when the federal government tells the states they have to put aside the Constitution, it is the state's obligation to say, you have no authority to do that. That is not your compact. But because they've created the judiciary form of government under our very nose, because they've created the corporate form of government under our very nose, because they've created a democratic form of government under our very nose, as well as all sorts of other forms of government. We have every form of government being forced down our throats except for the Republican form of government that we're supposed to have. It's that simple. And as a matter of fact, I deal with a lot of stubborn people. I'm stubborn. We're all stubborn. We all have our layers and thicknesses of our skin and or thinnesses, however you want to put it. Because, I mean, nobody is just consistent on all points in every direction. And as a matter of fact, people do have trigger words. I mean, one of the things you learn in intelligence and manipulating people is how to find their triggers. Because if you know somebody's triggers, if you can push their buttons, you can literally manipulate and control them. And as a matter of fact, this is what pedophiles do. They manipulate and control. This is what evil people do, is manipulate and control. Now, what we want to talk about, because I'm not talking about me trying to manipulate and control you. I'm trying to empower you. This is why we're going through the content. We're reading the content. The framers' words, don't take my word for it, folks. I'm not here to entertain you or to get you to believe how smart I am. I may be the dumbest guy in the room. What's important is what these men said and how they defined the Constitution, our government, its capabilities, and those types of things. There's nothing more important for us to understand. Now, they're telling us, and then we can move forward, because when people try to reinterpret or redefine, say, hold on here, you can't do that. This is a perpetual government based on those definitions. This is not some living, what they created was not a living constitution, living government that can constantly consume us and assume more and more powers and roles and responsibilities and everything under the sun they can assume. No, they are limited and defined as defined by the framers. So, as I said, yesterday was our first show, and what we want to do is we want to cover this quintessential content for our state and county legislators to understand that they can do what they need to do when those times come. Like I said, when the federal government comes, or what to do when they're faced with issues. You know, one of the things that I've mentioned this before, we need to start testing those people going into office. That we need to make sure that they at least pass the bar in understanding the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be getting into this regarding Tammy Young and her challenger, who she's challenging. Actually, she's challenging the incumbent. And so this race is literally going to go down to the primary. Whoever wins the primary wins the game, because it's that kind of legislative district. And this is predominantly America. If you've got a legislative or a county or whatever the race is, 9 times out of 10, the election is determined in the primary. Well, that kind of points out something, doesn't it? Doesn't it show how the primary really makes us weaker? Because we have less time. Because how much time do you get with the primary? As a matter of fact, many primaries have already been done and over. As 9 times out of 10, the primary, going from the time you file to the time you have that primary, maybe 2-3 months at the most. And then some people have 6 months to campaign between the primary and the general election. Well, hold on here. Most 80% of all the most important elections are our local elections, not the presidential. Just keep in mind that if the federal government was actually doing the things that it could only do, then we wouldn't have to worry about the crap that we have to worry about, because they're doing all sorts of things they shouldn't be doing. So, why is it that we allowed the party to pull these shenanigans to basically make it hard for us to really go through and vet who is best to serve us locally? because they want to. It's confusing as long as you're looking at the problem on the national stage. If you start looking at how the national stage at the local level is directly affecting you, and that's what we want to do. That's what I'm going to do. And so I plan on, I promise you folks, if you've got a candidate, I'll work with them. I will do everything we can between now and November as long as they sign that pledge. You sign my pledge that you will support the Constitution, and if we First Amendment petition you to actually step down because you violated your oath, you better step down, or we will haunt you mercilessly, and we will go after you and the chance of you, because what we're going to do, if you don't step down, because right now, if you step down, there's no way we can actually come after you using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. But if you don't step down, then this is when the people will start realizing that we have to demand an application of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We're going to connect the dots. And if you want to help us do that, that's fine. If you want to play those types of shenanigans. We're looking for champions on the Constitution. We're looking for people to be public servants, not self-aggrandizers, and people on a path of becoming millionaires. Believe me, I see all sorts of people that I have good friends that, you know, are adoring these people, and these people would never sign that petition. I should say the candidates that they adore. They would never sign that pledge, not petition. They would never sign that pledge. Bottom line, our government corporations are applying a plethora of warfare tactics against the states and the U.S. citizens. And in some cases, the states are either participants, our state government, our state bureaucracies are either participants, and the Chevron case kind of points out how, as a matter of fact, I really have some problems with the Chevron case, because the Chevron case may have taken away the bureaucracy power, but it did not. And as a matter of fact, it reinforced the power of the court. It reinforced our judiciary form of government. Is there a little battle? Is the battle of control of us a little peon, we the people? Folks, we are the fountain of political power. All we have to do is start understanding that they're both wrong. They're both wrong. And every time I go through this, I can actually prove these things. The fact is that your state and county governors, those who govern you, legislators, right? It's our legislators. They're the ones that are the sovereigns. They create the laws. And so bottom line, they are the participants, or at a minimum, they're complicit in harming and killing us by doing nothing. They're allowing all of this warfare tactics to actually be brokered. We've seen a few people and a few cases where there have been people that have stood up against chemtrails. But where are the people standing up, you know, and actually demanding accountability regarding those flights that are going overhead? Even if they're not spraying over you, they're still spraying everywhere else. Where's the accountability of the federal funds coming in and manipulating our markets and our controls, our banking system, and so forth? They're even manipulating our currency. They have the responsibility of maintaining the value of our currency, not manipulating it and devaluing it. So, in a hindsight, and I kind of mentioned this before, because I told you I talked to two different lawyers a few weeks ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, and I'm actually, it's interesting because I'm not getting into the ring, but I'm getting into, let's just use the word relationships with a bunch of different people that are directly involved in the law one way or the other. And I find it interesting that, you know, in dealing with one particular, and this one lawyer that claims to be a constitutional lawyer who is defending the judiciary form of government. In other words, I mean, they talk about, you know, empowering representation and so forth. But the only way we can empower representation is by taking, you know, knocking out the judiciary form of government. We have to dismantle it. We have to dismantle the bar and the system itself. And yet this constitutional lawyer you know, supports and actually, you know, endorses the Federalist Papers as the mechanism of the measure or the merit or the metric of what the Constitution means. And I'm here to tell you that what that does, because the Federalist Papers actually support the judiciary form of government, because Hamilton had that slant. Madison didn't, but Hamilton sure did. And so now I've connected the dots in my head to realize why this particular blogger, writer, Substack, whatever, and constitutional, quote-unquote, lawyer, you know, why they are endorsing and clinging, they're clinging to the Federalist Papers, when actually, if it came down to a righteous and just legal system, we would look at, because every framer looked at that compact, that Constitution, as a compact and viewed it in one way or the other, as, and more importantly, Madison actually articulated that the parties are the states, and that Constitution is applicable to contract law, where the parties have the ultimate power over that. I mean, what Madison taught and what Madison did through consistently through his life was to point out that that was a compact. The Constitution is a compact, and the judiciary form of government has changed it into a living government and a living Constitution, because it gives them the ability to change and so forth. Anybody that does not see that with the Chevron case, I mean, everybody is happy that the bureaucracies, but they haven't freed us from unconstitutional government, that the judiciary form will, and I hear people arguing the lunacy from both the conservative big government socialism to the liberal big government socialism, how it's bad and how it's good, that ruling on the Chevron case. I'm here to tell you, folks, the ruling was bad. It didn't go far enough. It should have freed and knocked away the federal controls and the federal bureaucracy controls over matters not delegated, period. Instead, they just the courts just ingratiated themselves. They aggrandized themselves by making that ruling. So what we're doing is we're seeing this reamplification of Hamilton's desire of allowing this judiciary form of government to basically maintain the status quo, instead of actually dismantling all the unconstitutional government that needs to be dismantled. This is why I'm telling you, the court system is corrupt. We will not get justice out of our court system. They're incapable of doing it. And all they're doing is they're proving that they're empowering themselves. So I'm also working with a lawyer who is trapped in some cases. These guys are great. I mean, I think these guys are great, but they're just kind of trapped in their biases from the Federalist Papers and or the authorities of the court. I'm also working with, as I mentioned, a different lawyer that is, I'll just say, steeped in the sovereign citizen movement. In other words, they recognize this judiciary form of government is unconstitutional, but they also recognize the corporate form of government is unconstitutional equally as well. And there is a way as an individual that you can go and you can break, you know, free yourself. You can secede from their facade. That's what the sovereign citizen movement is. It is a secession of an individual from their form of government, going back to, but not restoring or rooting yourself in the Constitution to reclaim it and restore it. It is strictly a measure of self-preservation. Now, when we look at homeschooling, when we look at all of these different forms of solutions for, I'll just say, you know, for a person in dealing with federal overreach, the reality is that you as a person are not fixing the problem when you take your kids out of the education system. I've said this before. You're actually a part of the problem. Now, you may be solving a real big problem for yourself, but until we actually either, you know, dismantle the education system and seceding from it and then going off and protecting yourself and ingratiating yourself is throwing the rest of us to the wolves. Because what ends up happening when a state secedes? Well, it no longer has any say in what's going on. A state cannot engage. A state cannot interpose. Now, technically, these parents, when they homeschool, they can still interpose, but they don't because they've solved the problem. Why deal with the headaches anymore? And that is how they become a part of the problem. That's how anybody that goes down this path of trying to, you know, justify simple nullification is a part of the problem. This is why we kind of went through the paths at the beginning of the year. This is why I'm going to, in my next article, lay this all out. This is going to be the follow-on to why counties matter most. So as we look at interposition and the importance of interposition, it is so important. If we can get a few states, if we can just get one state with enough legislators to have, and what's enough? Technically, let's back up a minute. What was enough for God to break, to frustrate the globalist plan of Britain in controlling the world? Now, I saw a meme yesterday that talked about all of the different states that broke away from Britain, such as Canada, such as South Africa, all of these parts of the Commonwealth. But they never really broke away because they are still a part of the Commonwealth. They did not revolt and create independence. They are still a part of the Commonwealth. So, as we kind of look at this, you know, this globalist plan and how we frustrated that, and we were actually given a document that would actually bring an end to it. The problem was that as we grew and evolved and became a force, an empire ourselves, we allowed ourselves to get subjugated all unconstitutionally to it. And that's the beautiful thing of this Constitution and our system. Even though we've been subjugated, it is all unconstitutional. It is all this facade. It's a house of cards. I can't say that enough. And the only way we can actually really preserve life, not just your own, not just your community, but the life on this planet, is by interposing. And this is why interposition is so important. And so getting a few people, because back to the revolution, how many people actually interposed and stood up and arrested the evil because they ended up having to fight a war because they didn't have a constitution to break free from, or I should say to, you know, to use to break free like we do today. They had the Bill of Rights, and their Bill of Rights were being violated because the king had the discretion and had a theocracy to basically pervert things the way he needed to keep people in the Commonwealth and keep people under their control. And so because if you look, and the point of what I'm trying to say and why the history of the revolution is so important, most people say it was about 3-7%. It was a minority. It was not 50% of the people rising up. And the enforcement of kicking the Tories out, was driven by those same few people. That's how a few good leaders can actually make a huge difference. So when you say, oh, well, we need to have 50%, I'm saying when the world starts to crumble, when our republic, our constitution, is in its final thrashes of being thrown and set asunder, I believe it is asunder, and destroyed, all's we need, literally, all's we need is a few people in one state to create a catalyst of stopping, arresting, and seizing that federal government or that general government into the position that the states need to be in to where they can force it into compliance, and it can happen quickly. We'll get into this when we come back. We'll be right back after this. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so when we look at how a state, one little state can do this, especially if we have, you know, even a super minority, like only one person in a few other states. We have just a few counties in a few other states. Because if one state actually takes a stand, if Wyoming, Iowa, South Dakota, any of these states where we're actually making a difference, then that state could save your butt. Because if they actually stand up and say, hey, federal government, you have no authority to do this. We're getting close in Wyoming. I'd like to be a lot closer in South Dakota. We could have been closer, but we've been having problems at the grassroots layer. And so we need your help. We need your help to get involved, to help us when we find and we get people who are actually signing pledges that they will step down, you know, and that they'll be a champion and fully support that Constitution. No cherry picking. We get people like that, and we can actually get engaged into their races and actually help them educate the people so that we have champions in the halls of our legislative bodies in these states and counties. Then we now have that little insurance plan that these people can actually stand up, and we need to help prepare them for this. I'm doing everything I can. What are you doing? Are you sending money? You're sending money to the Convention of States. You're getting involved in tactical civics, because if you're doing those types of things, you're not really contributing to the solution. And as nice and as patriotic as those organizations seem, they're all flawed. They're all flawed. I'm not an organization. I am empowering people to take back this constitutional republic from your county. And this is why counties matter most is so important, because the problem is your county does not have a constitution. Your county, in creating your state constitution, made some real mistakes, and you need to fix these things. Now that we get reasonable people equally informed, then nobody's going to disagree that we, the people, institute our government. And the most important government we institute is the county. This is why when I go through these issues, we're going to come up with things like abortion. We're going to come up with things like that to say, hold on here. The state, this is not something that we delegated to the state. So we need to solve this problem at the county level. And we need to actually go through, you know, determining how many counties actually want to, you know, support or even have abortion. You want to see the fear in a progressive's eyes at the state house, a progressive governor. When those words are being uttered, you're going to actually see people in panic mode, because they'll realize that there's far more red counties than there are blue. And when I say red, let's start using the word parchment, because we have to also point at the parties, the uniparties, as a huge part of the problem. So my involvement is literally going to be my priority in supporting these champions and their campaigns. I'm not going to hide this, folks. I'm going to ask you to support Tammy. She signed the petition. We'll get that petition up so that you can actually see it. She's signing her petition, or the pledge, I should say. I'm sorry. She's signing the pledge, and then she will sign and endorse petitions that are fed to her that actually support the Constitution. And she will champion the counties throughout the state to petition them. This is how we create the symbiotic link between we the people petitioning our counties and our counties petitioning the state legislature. That's how it's supposed to flow. Bottom up, because we have a bottom-up government, and we can't fix it from the top. We'd make the biggest mistake of trying to do that. As a matter of fact, you know, I've had Lloyd Brunson on this show. I don't think he'll come back. I'm not sure, because I have to laugh. Why is it that he's petitioning Congress directly? Folks, in 2020, we petitioned Congress with Mike Pence as the president pro tem of the Senate. We petitioned them to actually stop the Electoral College, and they did nothing. They ignored our petition. They're going to continue ignoring the petition. We have a lawsuit, and that lawsuit was in the Supreme Court. We had two. Actually, we didn't. The We the People Foundation, Bob Schultz, and his Anthony, I forget Anthony's last name, forgive me, but these two men pushed these two lawsuits, one regarding the Electoral College and the other one regarding petitions. And nobody wanted to get involved in that case, because that case actually proves how the government is ignoring the First Amendment, the federal government specifically. And your state governments will ignore them too. Folks, they can make no law. This is why they just ignore it. They can make no law that abridges your right. So the best thing they can do is just ignore it. If you're not getting this, then maybe I'm failing. But I'm hoping that you understand that when Lloyd Brunson says I think he has 90,000, I saw an email where he has 90,000 people that have signed his petition, you know, and whatever the petition is about, you know, I'm sure it's not a petition that ends the UN or ends the invasion or something. It's really more of a political or a party type of thing. But it doesn't matter, because they're going to ignore it. And he wants to see a million people sign it. And I'm here to tell you that a million people will not create an outcome at the federal level. Why? Because it has to start at the grassroots. The only way you can actually get rid of abortion at a state is pushing it down into the counties where it really belongs. So here's the question. Does your state constitution delegate them to determine what life is and to actually be able to support the extinguishing of life within a woman's body, to actually establish this precedence of a woman being able to kill her unborn child? You know, what's more important is ensuring that a person doesn't engage in the act of creating a child, or if you do, you better be very sure, because the consequences of that, you know, are irreversible. Bottom line, there are, and this is why we get so confused over this issue, and it's really simple, folks. When you actually have an outcome from something that you did, that's a consequence. And we have to live with those consequences. Removing consequences for mistakes, sins, only enables bad behavior. And it enables the killing and the use and the senseless killing of children. This is why pushing it down to the county and letting the county resolve, and then let the county come back to the state and say, yeah, we want you involved. Because bottom line, and as a matter of fact, if you have a majority of the counties, and this is why this is so important, if you have a majority of the counties to say, we want to make this a life protection state, then the counties will then either amend, or maybe the counties need to go into a constitutional convention once again and create a constitution that actually supports a bottom-up government like we're supposed to have, this Republican form of government that they were creating, where the federal government started manipulating and controlling this in 1819, and it only got worse every new state to join the union. I mean, how long did it take? I think it was 1816. I think it was 1816 when Indiana came into the union. And so 4 years later, the federal government started inflicting slavery upon the states, something that they did not have the power to do, and yet they did it. And they started doing more and more. They started taking land from states. They started taking mineral rights away from they started doing things that are actually unrighteous and set us up for this big facade. Well, it's all a facade. That's when it all started. They didn't have the authority to do these things. And so that's why it is paramount that all of these states basically redo their constitutions. And I think that when the counties go into this constitutional convention, the first and foremost important, the most important thing that they do is to ensure that all power is not delegated to that state general government, because that's all a state is a general government that serves the counties, the people's government. Then you say, okay, power is not delegated or reserved to the counties and the people, respectively. Then your state can't exercise powers not delegated. I mean, you've actually added that clause. And then you make sure that what you delegate to them are the things you want them to help support or provide. That's it. And don't look at the state as the big equalizer of socialism. It needs to only provide those necessary services that you actually want. Do you want them to provide you health care? These are questions that actually have to be answered at the county. So anyway, as we start moving forward, I'm going to be doing this into the campaign season, and this is really where my focus is. And so as I examine how I can help you, this is why this actual content becomes necessary in basically letting you hear the framers in a sermon preaching to you how that constitution was defined. This is why I also make an emphasis on getting candidates who are the champions of the constitution on this show. The education of the people and getting people to support these champions is clearly the way to influence America for the better. In addition, I have meetings, and you're more than welcome to initiate a meeting for your state or your county. I have meetings with patriots around the nation to try to develop and help them develop good state persons to lead your local and state governments into interposing movement up. In other words, interposing from the county to the state and interposing from the state to the federal. But we have to get the one county to get the other counties to go, and we have to get one state to get the other states to go. We just don't go and take on the king. We have to get the rest of the parties to the compact, to the table, and say, yeah, you know, the blood is on our hands because we're not doing anything. Folks, Madison clearly stated that when the government above you that you created through that compact has palpable violations, blatant violations to that compact, you are not only obligated, you are duty bound to interpose. And this is why we need to challenge these idiots who want to actually just, you know, continue the game of, oh, well, you know, we're going to create good conservative law. No, get all these unconstitutional laws the heck out of here. And start really reforming our government at the county level. If lawyers want to actually be involved, get your butt involved in the county in getting that county constitution done. There you go. One of the things that I have to tell you, because we're seeing this happening, the states are actually, they're being forced back into the 2020 election scheme. In Wisconsin, the judiciary form of government dictated that they needed to apply and actually force the state into establishing ballot drop boxes, like what we have unconstitutionally in the state of Washington. Oh, yeah, they may have amended the Constitution via the form of democracy form of government, and in addition to the judiciary form of government, in addition to the corporate form of government, but bottom line, they did not have the authority to do this. The Constitution dictates that only the state legislatures can do this, and it has to be a supermajority, which is why it is so much easier just to get a mob rule amendment to the Constitution. At least it should be a supermajority based on counties. This is why your Constitution is so screwed up, because every state allows mob rule. Another thing that needs to be brought up, and I just got to point this out, that Abigail Disney says that she's halting donations to the Democrats unless and until President Biden drops out. The stakes, according to her, are too high. So the topic has to be maintained in Feedback Friday, that the topic of Democratic Party swapping out their candidate after the caucuses and after the primaries. I want you to understand, the people have already spoken who the electors are. The party does not have control. And they basically went out, are we going to choose, Joe? Are we going to basically choose some other person like Gavin? Are we going to choose Trump over anybody else like Nikki? We chose, and those electors were for those particular candidates. If you're going to tell me, even though the electors technically, by the Constitution, are supposed to choose freely, even though that's what they're supposed to do, they have created the law to pad it, to ensure that those electors are going to vote for that person. And remember, in the 2020 election, people were bringing up, hey, you don't have to vote for Biden. You can actually cast your vote for Trump or do something else so that Biden doesn't get those votes as an elector. And no, you're obligated to actually give it to that person that the primary dictated. Now, the way it goes is the electors are frozen for the Democrats and the electors are frozen for the Republicans. Whoever wins the popular vote, this is all unconstitutional, but whoever wins the popular vote in the general election gets all of the electors, instead of actually looking at how that county may have, or the legislative or congressional district voted. It doesn't matter. They've applied a democracy to ensure that the party garners all the votes. Because if they broke it up, and if you looked at the Electoral College map, there's just no chance in heck that if they did it that way, that they would get a number of electors. Go through the candidacies, or actually go through the election races of the past several years, and you're going to find that the outcome would have been different. We wouldn't have had Obama. So, because it's all about winner take all in democracy. So when we start looking at how they're trying to bypass the election process, I can only emphasize how important it is that we actually kind of start holding them accountable to, the Constitution and ensuring that they actually do what's necessary. If you didn't notice, and as a matter of fact, there's merit in mentioning this as a part of Unsolicited Feedback Friday. Anybody notice that Biden said he's not going anywhere? Are we actually getting a glimpse? Are they playing their hand that the globalists will use shenanigans and force, if necessary, to keep control, to keep that dolt and the marionettes controlling him in control? Folks, I am laying it out there that it may get, and as a matter of fact, this is something that they want. They want to create chaos so that they have to force military intervention. Here's the question. Because the military has become the bastion of progressivism in supporting gender transformance and so forth, do you have faith in America's military anymore? As one who served the Marine Corps and as one who, when was walking out, saw how more and more people became actually and unfortunately adversaries to the Constitution and constitutional principles. It was very alarming. So, we have to start emphasizing what we're starting to see. And I can tell you that I believe we're being set up. I can only emphasize that we have a situation where we need to restore elections to the local vicinage. In other words, making all elections local. But right now, the globalists have opened every election for them to pour money into. I can tell you, you are not going wrong if you pour money into these candidates that are signing these pledges. If you're thinking about getting involved, prove to us that we're actually going to try to do, because if you want an insurance plan, that insurance plan you may think sits in the White House, I'm telling you that insurance plan sits in the high plains of Wyoming, sits in the high plains of South Dakota, and in some of these other red states. When we get legislators who sign the pledge that they will support the Constitution, then it's done. We now have people that will actually support the Constitution and support the interposition process. I'm going to tell you, you're going to start finding what you thought was a real good conservative constitutionalist, because I'm going to test the water with a few of these folks. I'm going to send them these pledges, these legislators in the states that I know, and I'm going to come out and name names of who didn't send it back. And I want them to, you know, be very aware of what this means, because we want to start holding them accountable. And we're going to hold them accountable because we're going to actually go after, we have to go after those who are the beloveds. And what I mean by this, folks, if you're living in a congressional district, if you're living in a legislative district, if you're living in a county that wants constitutional compliance, and you're finding that these guys, these gals that are your representatives of the county and these different districts, that, oh, you know, these guys are great, and they don't. And they actually, when you look at what they do, they allow some crap to happen. And they know if they sign that pledge, they'll be held accountable to that. And I believe we're laying the groundwork by demanding that they sign a pledge, because in 2 years at the state legislature or in the county commissioners in 4 years or in Congress in 2 years, you get these folks to basically avoid the pledge. You can start now by getting new champions of the Constitution who will be positioned and poised in 2 years to say, see, we've been proving this to you. Re-electing this person is just re-electing bad government. There you go. Because that's how you have a strategy to win, and that's how you have a strategy to get rid of the enemies. And more importantly, when the enemy is when you think that that person's a good person, but they're not, they're the real problems. And I'm telling you that if we start cleaning up these bastions where the people are conservative and want the Constitution to be complied with, that is where we actually start cleaning up house. Because I'm going to tell you, when we go through the Wyoming legislature and I show you some of these bills, and everybody on the face of them go, these are conservative bills. And I'm going to tell you that they're unconstitutional. They're unconstitutional. And when we start looking at it with the lens of a constitution, you're going to realize and you're going to agree with me, conservative is bad. Because conservative is not constitutional. And we're going to actually prove this to you as we start going through these races. So get involved, get people to sign the pledges, get them onto the show, because if they sign the pledge, and so if you go to the candidate's endorsement page and you get somebody to sign that pledge and you send it to me and say, hey, GR, we've got this person signed this pledge, download it. If you have a problem downloading the link, and as a matter of fact, it shouldn't be that big of a problem, so I'm going to put the instructions up there, because all you have to do is right-click on the link and basically in any of the browsers and say, save the document or save that link here, save as, and boom, you can actually download that document. That document has, I think, three instances of your state in red. Change the your state to your state. In other words, put Wyoming, put California, put whatever the state is in that spot with the two words, your state, change it to black, and now you have a good, clean document of getting and holding people accountable to the Constitution and accountable to their oath, their legally binding oath of office. Because it doesn't matter what oath they took. The Constitution, the supreme law of the land, demands that all public servants take an oath to support this Constitution. In other words, the very Constitution we're talking about, not the annotated Constitution and the requirement of doing bonds. If you got people doing bonds, you have an unconstitutional government. Because if it's a constitutional government, we have a right to hold them accountable to that Constitution, not to bonds. So help me out and help me start getting this out there, because as we start seeing how globalists are thriving even in our county governments and our state governments and county, and the importance of challenging the incumbents on their record in the Constitution. Like I said, we're going to be doing this directly for Tammy. I have a long list. What do we have? I got 6 pages, and I'm actually going to go through and I'm going to write a little dissertation for each of the issues at kind of a high level to prove how conservative is bad and how we need to have people bringing up the constitutional perspective on every issue. You need to get it to where when you come up to the microphone at the state legislature, the body of the legislature's eyes roll in their head. Oh, no, here comes the constitutionalist again, taking, you know, filibustering time, taking valuable time away from us on lecturing us on the Constitution. Can you guys just send us a person that's going to help us compromise here? Because that's the status quo. That's what they want to do. And so one of the issues that came up, I didn't get a chance to talk about this last time, was the topic of the draft and its constitutionality. Bottom line, the federal government's draft is only allocated at the state level. The state is the one that's actually supposed to run and operate the militia according to the Constitution. They cannot create and require everybody register. That's a responsibility at the state level for everybody to be registered and active as a member and being fed through. I need to ponder on this even more. So we're going to pick this up on Monday if I don't have, well, I should be doing some more content, but who knows? What if I got another exigent show, I'm going to do it. But I want to bring this up first thing, because you need to understand the militia and the system. Your education system should be teaching you, tactics, gun safety, just basic first aid and those types of things. Because if you have to serve in the militia, you need to survive. We want you to win in supporting that Constitution, especially when it comes to deadly force. Folks, we got problems and we need it cleaned up. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.